Lamed Aleph, Perek Mem, okay, Perek Mem, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. What we're doing over here, we have one more Pasuk until we come to the next section. The next section is going to be, another one, two Pasukim. We're just basically reviewing very quickly the gates leading into the Chatzer HaPanimis. Okay, if you have this handout, okay, the one that has all of the entire big picture. One I'm holding in my hand is this picture. If anyone doesn't have it, there are more over here on the front. So you basically see the bird's eye view. You see the bird's eye view of the entire structure. On the right side is the entrance to the east. That's really the main entrance. And then you just keep on going. You come into the Chatzer HaPanimis. There's the Chatzer HaChitzayna and the Chatzer HaPanimis. They're both pretty much...
The main entrance, you say, was on the east?
Yes, yes.
In Bayis
Shlishi. Even though you see there's an entrance on the north and the south, I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe not, I don't know. The Bayis Rishon, the Shani, there's no question the main entrance was on the east. There's no doubt about it. No. No, it, coming into the Ezras, there was only one place
into
to go.
The Azara, yes, but into the big
Har HaBayis. Right, so we're not talking about the Har HaBayis. Let's focus on the Azara. In the Bayis Rishon and in the Bayis Sheni, there was only one section called the Ezras Noshim, and that was on the east. Okay, in this picture you have over here three major sections of Ezras Noshim. You have Dalet, Hey, and Ches. See, three major sections that the Mitzudos David calls the Ezras Noshim. You don't have that in the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, you only have in the section on the east. So where was the... So there are three entrances coming into the... There's an entrance, Ezras Noshim on Dalet, Hey, and... Okay, fine. Now we go in. And we're just basically reviewing the three major entrances coming into the Chatzer HaPanimis. And all of those entrances were basically the same. They were all the same exact dimensions. And those entrances paralleled the entrances to the Chatzer HaChitzayna. Let's review. What are the main differences? The most overwhelming difference is which way the entrance pointed. The Ulam Hashar, on the Chatzer HaChitzayna, the Ulam Hashar pointed inward, and in the Chatzer HaPanimis, the entrance is pointed outward. And where it pointed, they had those two massive columns with the Tamarim, the crowns, the Kosarais above, so they basically faced one another. We spent yesterday the whole day describing another major difference, and that is there were chambers in addition to the Ta'im, the little chambers that were 6x6. There were also two very long and narrow chambers, which were 25 amos long and 5 amos wide. As you see in this illustration, the wall of Chatzer HaPanimis, if you look at the letter Dalet, I know it's hard to see some of them. Okay, I have different copies, some of them better than the others. No, it's the letter Yud, not the letter Yud. Yud. The letter Yud inside the Chatzer HaPanimis. You see the three chambers on each. There are a total of 18, but those three little chambers that flank each entranceway. And then, as you get closer to the inside, you see another chamber, which is very long and narrow. Its length almost corresponds to the entire length of the three Ta'im. That was a new chamber called the Elamav, and. That's unique. That does not appear in the Chatzer HaChitzayna. That only appears in the Chatzer HaPanimis. Now, when we describe this in detail, when we describe the entranceway into the Chatzer HaPanimis, the Pasuk focused on the southern entrance. That's where the Pesukim went to town and told us all of the details. L'chol perotecha v'diktu kecha v'chavanoseha. And after it finishes telling us all the details of the southern entrance into the Chatzer HaPanimis. And the southern entrance, as you see, is the one facing the ramp of the Mizbeach. Right, that's Oistes. That's the southern entrance. Now the Pesukim are just repeating and say whatever we said about the southern entrance automatically apply, photocopy, and replicate on the east entrance and on the north entrance. Okay, so the Pasuk only has to tell you the details once, And on our own we could extrapolate. The pasuk is telling you it's likewise ditto for the other two entrances. Just want to review the idea we mentioned yesterday, is that was very interesting, is that when we discussed the chotzer hachitzoyna, the outer entrance, the psukim went into detail, exerted itself to describe the details on the east. And then it said ditto for the north and the south. When it comes to the chotzer hapenimis, all of the effort went in to describe the south. And then it said ditto for the east and for the north. Okay, so is that clear? Anyone have any questions about any of this? Are you all ready to build the Beis HaMikdash? What? Yes. Don't hold back. Don't be embarrassed.
Where's the sprinkler system?
The roof is open.
It's open.
Nothing to burn.
It's open.
Nothing to burn.
Well, the carbonos, well, the bias training burned down, right? So where is the sprinkler? Would this pass New York City building inspection code?
Obviously not. We lost two buildings already.
Today is the Hebrew anniversary of 9/11.
The Hebrew anniversary. Okay. So may all those neshamas, may
the also a big yard site for Rabbi Yehuda Getz, the first Rav of the Kaisel.
And Beagle Eisen was Beagle Eisen. Who else? Shlomo Beagle Eisen's yard site is today. Then. Okay, may the neshamas have an aliyah. A lichtike gan eden. Zechusam yagin aleinu. Okay, so Rabbi, so we have over here, so this is, any questions? Sprinkler system, good question. A lot of questions about the codes. How did this work? I always wonder, will there be modern plumbing? Will there be modern plumbing in the Beis HaMikdash? Will there be technology? Will there be Wi-Fi?
Now, more than that, there'll be a hotel.
What?
There'll definitely be a hotel attached.
Hotel attached to it? Okay, so how is...
The palace was attached, so...
How will technology be incorporated into...
When you had knives that were made out of stone, there was no problem.
What?
There was no problem.
With what?
It's not a kabel tumor.
Stone is not a kabel tumor, yeah.
If it's metal, you have a problem.
Well, it's mechubel lekarka, it's not a kabel tumor. Mechubel lekarka, it's not a kabel tumor. What about the kalim? Well, they say the kalim they use, that when you bring a carbon... And what it becomes treif, nicer. When you bring a carbon, you only can carbon for one day and one night, or you can eat it for 2 days and the night in between. But what happens after that point in time? It's nicer. The belias, all of the absorptions that go into the utensil are forbidden. You have to kasher. Every utensil has to be kashered after kachim, after 1 day and one night, and kachim kalim after 2 days and the night in between. So what do you do if it's made from cheres, pottery, in the garbage? You have to break it, shatter it. And indeed, Chazal say there were mounds and mounds, there were like mountains of shivrei cheres, because that was the disposable, the chad pa'ami. You're an Israeli, right? So disposable is called chad pa'ami. Chad pa'ami. So there was no disposable. The disposable was cheres. So there were mounds and mounds and mounds of broken piece of pottery. I read somewhere that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of plastic. Plastic today... Today we have plastic, and plastic, according to the vast majority of Pesachim, is not mekabel tuma. So that would mean that in the bayis shlishi, they're going to be using plastic. Plastic, all of the koyhanim, and the Yisraelim who come to bring korbanos and eat are going to use plastic utensils. Plastic utensils, it's not going to be good for shidduchim then, you know, because they find out that you only eat on plastic when you eat your korbanos, no one's going to want to shidduch with you. So, what?
If you wait till then, you're waiting for Mashiach.
Too late, too little, too late. So l'chayra, they say, that's what I read somewhere, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing us, he's giving us a lot of technology that are going to make things very easy for us, and the Bayis Shlishi, plastic will be the utensil of choice, because there's no belios, it's not mekabel tumah. Something along those lines. I don't have to work out all the details of how it's going to work. All right. Now let's go further. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. In Pasuk Lamed Dalet, we're describing over here. No, let's really actually go back. Let's go back to Pasuk. Just read the Pasuk very quickly. There's nothing, no chidush. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk Lamed Beis. Pasuk Lamed Beis says, Vayivieni al-Chatzar apanimi derech ha-kodim. Okay, we already discussed in very great detail the dimensions of the southern gate of the Chatzar HaPnimi, which is ois tes in the illustration on this piece of paper. Now we're just saying ditto, ditto, ditto for the east. We discussed the south. The pasuk lambeis vayivieni el Chatzar HaPnimi derech hakodim on the east. Vayomar the malach mezhes hashar. Guess what? All of the dimensions were identical. Pasuk lamed gimel v'sa'af. On the east, there were chambers, the elav, and there were columns, two massive columns, the elamav, the ulam hashar, the chamber with the two walls which extend outwards, kamido yisraelev, v'chaloino yislo, and there were windows in these two, in the ulam hashar, ule elamav, and there were windows in the ulam hashar, saviv, orech hachamishim amo. And there was also a chamber. I'm sorry. Ula elamav. So it means there were chambers. There were these chambers like ois yud in this piece of paper. And ois yud. There were these very long chambers in the wall. Saviv along the east side as well. Orech chamishim amo. And then it goes back to say. It says that the height of the walls were 50 amos. The roichav and the width. And the width chomesh the eshrim amo, the height was 50 amos, and the width going from tall to tall was, or really, the width of these chambers, the width of each one of these chambers was 25 amos. Okay, so like in the picture, ois yud on all four three sides, ois yud on the three, and now we're focusing on the east side, so it's ois yud aleph. Ois yud aleph, you see the entranceway. Okay, there are columns on the outside, and there are windows, and there are ta'im, and there are these two chambers that are 25 amos long, and the height of the wall is 50 amos, and on the very outside there are columns for 60 amos. Basically, everything is going to be exactly the same. Pasuk Lamedalet says, Ve'elamav lechatzer hachitzayna. Elamav over here means the ulam hashar. The ulam hashar means the part that protrudes into section Dalet. You look at the illustration, and you look at on the east side. On the east side, you see Ois Dalet. That's the first area of the Ezras Noshim. And you look at the gate going into the Chatzar HaPenimis, and you take note that it juts outwards. It the direction of the Ulam Hashar, these posts, they fade. That's called the Eilamav, means the walls of the Ulam Hashar. That's right on the right side of Ois Yud Aleph. Ois Yud Aleph, if you move a little bit right, you see a little staircase, that's a circular staircase, and keep on going a little bit more, and you see those two walls. Those two walls are what's called here the Eilamav. Eilamav means the post. Here they're very big posts because the post is a length of 10 amos. 8 amos plus the columns for a grand total of 10. Lechotzer hachitzayna. It protruded towards the Chotzer Hachitzah, which we translate to mean that into the Ezras Noshim. And it was parallel to its corresponding walls, Ois Gimel, to that's also the Ulam Hashar, but that is the Ulam Hashar on the outer gate. V'simayrim eleilav, and there were beautiful crowns of that looked like a palm tree on the top of these columns, Mipo Umipo, Ushmoyne Ma'alois Me'alav, and there were 8 steps. That circular staircase that you see here in this illustration, right next to the right side of Ois Yud Aleph, had exactly 8 steps, unlike the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon, which had the 15 steps in this location, the 15 Sheir Hamalas. Okay, let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Lamed Dalet says, Mipo, Behoever, Hamizel, Wei Mezel, doesn't really say very much, in two sides, there's nothing more. Let's go to Pasuk Lamed Hey. Now we do exactly, we're going to do ditto for the north. Now we're going to Ois Yudalid and Yud Beis. Okay, Ois Yudalid and Yud Beis is the northern entrance coming into the Chotzer HaPenimis. The Vayivieni, Yecheskel says, the Malach brought me El Shar HaTzofoin. Umodad, and the Malach measured Kamido Yisraela. Everything is identical. Everything is identical to what we described in detail on the south. Lamadim and Mitsudos. There is none. Okay? There is no Mitsudos and Rashi, there's none as well. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Same exact thing now. There are Ta'av, there are the chambers, Elav, the columns, the Elamav, and those little rooms, those long, narrow rooms that were 25 amos long by 5 amos wide. And there are windows all over the place, windows into those chambers, windows from the tower going outwards. Saviv, saviv. The wall had a height of 50 amos. The reichav, and the width of those chambers, ois yud, on even on the south side is also chamesh v'eshem amos, 25 amos. Pasuk lamed zayin, and likewise ve'elav, the walls of the ulam hashar lechatzer hachitzena, it jutted out. Its direction was towards the Ezras Nashim. Since now we're describing the tzafon, its ois hey, ois hey is the tzafon. It went protruded towards ois vav. See, Yudalid is facing vav. The walls are facing that direction. They protrude in that direction. Lechatzer hachitzena. V'simayrim el elav. Elav means the columns. On top of the columns there were crowns, and these crowns are called the timayrim. Mipo u'mipo. How many steps? U'shmoyne ma'alois ma'alav. And there are also exactly 8 steps going up. Someone yesterday made an observation. Who was the one who made the observation yesterday? That we got a problem. Okay, let's do that. I'll get to it. I'll come back to that problem observation another time. Okay, there are eight steps. Ma'alois. Ma love going upwards. Let's just finish. Let's see Mitsudos. Pasik la midvav. In the Mitsudos, is ring yet to'av. Musav elamiko shalafanav loymar. Kamido sa'ila. Kaniskarim modad is tov. Elasharahu. Everything's exactly the same. La medzayin in the Mitsudos says. Mezuzos ulam ponu la'avichot achitzonav. Yalamokim shayifnu ha-mezuzos. Yifnu because they're ulam. Vizoch ha-mezuzos v'lo ulam hihi. Okay, the word elav means the post. But the post included here the walls. The walls extended in that direction. Let's see, Rashi, la midvav, oirech, chamishim amo, govho, the height is 50 amos, chamishim amo, the elav, the chotzer achitina. Rabbi Chol, what does that word mean, the elav?
Say portique.
What does that mean?
Porticos,
like a little room, a little chamber, a little mashar, kari elim kan, over here we're calling the mashar with the word elim. Okay, so this really concludes, we have now concluded a major chunk of the tsura of the bias. Shlishi. Okay, so we're pretty much finished. We're finished now with all of the entranceways. Total of 6. Okay, we've gone through 6 entranceways. 3 on the Chatzer HaChitzayna, and 3 on the Chatzer HaPnimis, and they only are on the east, the north, and the south. They're pretty much identical one to the other. They face each other. The outer one enters, faces the in, and the inner one faces the outer one. You know, it's like when the Levim, when they carry the Aron, how do they carry the Aron? The Levim faced each other. When they carried the Aron, it wasn't like they show in the movies, where everyone is walking forwards. There, you don't put your back to the Aron, so whoever is in the back of the Aron is facing forwards, and the one that's in the front of the Aron is facing backwards. And the people in the front walk backwards, the people in the back walk forward. So the Levim, who are carrying the 4 people, are holding the Aron on their shoulders. And the Badim, they are facing, well, if it was 2 people, I remember, 2 people holding the Aron, the 2 Levim, they face one another. They're looking at each other, panim el panim. Just like the Kruvma, panim el panim, the people who carry the Aron are also facing each other. So here the entranceways are facing each other. Okay, and then we learn about the
Torah. This is a blueprint for bias, Shlishi, and not a blueprint for bias thing.
So we discussed that. That we discussed already a few times. That really it is. Really, this was meant to be the blueprint for bias Sheni. That was Yecheskel's goal. Yecheskel is speaking to Klal Yisrael 14 years after the Churban bias Rishon. And he's telling them, do not worry, soon you're going to rebuild the bayis sheni. I'm giving you the blueprints. Here they are. Problem is, by the time they got around to building the bayis sheni, and they look at the blueprint, Yecheskel was no longer alive. And no one understood what these psukim mean. So they built a watered-down version of what it says here in these psukim. So watered-down. So indeed, this is the blueprints, but it's not done in its fullness. It's a simplified version of what it says here. So instead of having 3 areas for the Ezras Nashim, there's only 1 section for the Ezras Nashim. instead of and the toyim, they did away with. There's no toyim period. Okay, they didn't have any toyim. Okay, obviously the steps are not the same. We have the Bayesheni, a 15 steps going into the into the Ezras Koyhanim. Here there are only 8 steps. Why did that change? I don't know. Maybe because the mountain, the height of the mountain, it just didn't work out. The way it was situated, the topography at the time did not allow there to be more. Did not allow, required that there should be 15 steps and not 8 steps. So what's going to change in the Bayis Shlishi? I think the ground's going to be way. I don't know. Who knows these things? But you are correct. This is really the blueprints for the Bayis Sheni. It's because there was a lack of understanding in what these psukim mean, as we can appreciate that. As we go through the Mefarshim, there's such a very great disagreement among the Mefarshim as to what these psukim mean. So they built a watered-down version of the Bayis Shlishi for the Bayis Sheni. And Yirtz Hashem, when the Bayis Shlishi will be rebuilt, it will be fully understood. Either it will be a miracle that will come straight out of Shemayim, or that we don't really know what that means, or if it has to be built by human beings at that time, there will be clarity. There will be the ultimate clarity in the meaning of the Nevuah of Yechezkel. So we'll be able to use this blueprint to perfection, to build every single little detail. Now, we go now to, so this pretty much concludes this section. We've learned about all the different details about the gates. And now we begin an entirely new sugya. We now begin to describe the place of Shechita and the different chambers. Okay, so the first we're going to discuss a Lishka. Now, you have here on your handout. Now, you can literally see here in two places. Okay? On this handout, the big handout, if you look on the north side of the Mizbeach, you see a little Yud Gimel, a little box. That little, it's not a full box, there are only three sides. I don't know why there are only three sides, but that little box appears to be what we're about to learn about right now. That was called the Lishkas HaMadichin. That was a chamber. In the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon, there was no chamber. It was an open space. At least that's the way they show it. We learn the Midos and the models. There was no chambers in the open. The chambers were all built into the walls. But in the Azari itself, everything was open. There was a designated area in the Azara where there were tables, there were hooks, there was water, where they cleaned the animals before they put the animal on the Mizbeach. But it was done out in the open. Out in the open, there were hooks. In fact, there were 24 hooks. And there were 24 rings. There was a ring on the floor to fasten the animal before you kill the animal. Each mishmar, there were 24 mishmars of Kohanim. Each mishmar had its own hook, own ring. And when they were on duty, all of the korbanos were slaughtered on their particular ring. They took the animal.
And only had one ring for all the korbanos?
I don't know. Maybe it means the carbon sebor. Maybe it means the carbon sebor. I really don't know how it worked. But there were 24.
So which shows you that the north entrance was used for bringing in the behemoths.
Well, Shechita San Batzafan, Kodshei Kodashim, can only be slaughtered on the northern side of the Mizbeach, the northern side of the Azara, which basically means you draw a line right down the Azara, okay, from the north and south, which basically goes right down the center of the Mizbeach. You go from east to west, and anything that's on top of east to west is north, anything that's below east to west is south. Where the ramp of the Mizbeach is, that's the south. And where the Mizbeach itself is, that's right smack in the center, that would be half, it would be in the north. But the truth is, this is the machlokes, where exactly the Mizbeach stood. Some, there's a machlokes, a very big machlokes in the Gemara, was the Mizbeach in the center, was the Mizbeach pushed more to the north, was it pushed to the south, yeah?
Were the hooks from each one designed differently?
No, I don't know, we don't really know.
No, because you mentioned once back a little ago, you were saying that each one had
everyone did their own thing, everyone had their own minhagim. Yeah, it's a very good point. So we don't know, maybe they did, maybe each one had a different type of hook, you know, different designers. They're all different types of people who came along and whatever it was. I really don't know. But everyone had, every one of the mishmaras had their own hook on the ground, which they would use to fasten the animal, to hold the animal down when they would do shechita. In addition, everyone had their own hook where they would hang up the animal. After you do shechita, you hang up the animal on a hook, on a pillar, on a column, or, and you would flay the animal. You cut the animal and you flay it, you skin it. And you take off the skin and then you clean it. So, again, there are a lot of details. Maybe we should maybe try more contrast. I'll make some copies maybe next time to contrast some of the things we have over here with the bias sheni to get more of an appreciation. But in the bias, one thing we have to, is here we're coming to a fundamental difference between the bias sheni and the bias shlishi. And that is the place in the Azara where the karbanos were prepared to be put on the Mizbeach, which means cleaning the inside, taking out the schmutz, all the schmutz in the intestines, and it's like a tahara. What do they do by a tahara? What's the main thing they do when Rahman al-Islam, Achameva Eshem, when a person gets a tahara? You know what the main thing is? It's not so much to put the clothing on the person, the tachrichin, and to put them in the mikvah. Those are not the main thing. The main thing is to clean the person. Okay, they clean the person. That's really one of the main functions of the tahara. They have a technique where they basically go into the person's body and they clean the body. There should be no tsoa. There should be no waste in the body when the body is put l'kvura. That's really probably the main purpose of what we call a tahara. In addition, they toivel the body in mikvah. That's really unique. They used to pour 9 kavim. Today they toivel the body in the mikvah and they dress the body in 8 shmoyne begadim. Shmoyne begadim, like a kohen gadol, there are 8 garments which are put on a body, but the main thing is the main thing is to clean. Alright, eventually goes off. The main thing is to clean the body from its waste. And that's exactly what's done in the Beis HaMikdash itself to the animals. Every animal undergoes a tahara before it's put on the Mizbeach. The animal is slaughtered and... The animal is slaughtered and the animal is cleansed. In the bias sheni and in the bias rishon, it's done out in the open. There is no chamber. There's no chamber right alongside where they did the shechita.
In these courtyards?
In the open area.
Oh, in the
open area.
So
in
what
the,
are these courtyards?
So I'm going to show you. We're going to discuss all this. So lamed ches, lamed vav, lamed. Those are, that's later on. Those are dining rooms. What you see on this picture, we're jumping ahead. When you see Lamed Ches, Lamed Vav, Lamed Vav, Lamed Ches, and Lamed Vav, those 4 different enclosures, those are basically dining rooms. Okay, 4 buildings. 4 buildings inside, and that's where the Kohanim had tables and benches, and they sat down there to eat their korbanos. Okay, the mamish dining rooms. Dining rooms. You did not have that in the bias. Rishon and Bayesheni. There was no dining room. They ate the korbanos in the Azara. I guess they had picnic tables. And somehow they put their picnic tables in the Azara and they sat down. It was not formally enclosed like you have over here in Lamed Ches and Lamed Vav. But we'll not get up to eating. Let's first focus when you're inside the Azara itself. In the Azara itself, inside the Chotzer HaPnimis, there's a little chamber called Yud Gimel. In that little chamber, that is the place where they would clean, they did the tahara on the animal, they would clean the animal from its schmutz before they would put the animal on to burn on the Mizbeach. Now, again, this was done in private, in an enclosed chamber. In the Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni, it was not done in private, it was done out in the open. If you look at the picture over here, picture 4, on this handout, so you actually see the chamber. It's called the Lishkas HaMadichin. He noticed that you see over here on the side, the Shar Tzifoini, you see the northern side, the gate north, and you take this picture, you take the big bird's eye view, and you can see the north is Yud Dalid Yud Beis. So you're looking at the Lishkas, you're looking at Yud Gimel. In this picture, picture 4, on page 4, corresponds to standing right to the right side of Yud Gimel. Make believe you're a drone. Today we have, like, you buy from Amazon for $30, a nice little drone, and it's hovering with a nice video camera, high-resolution video camera, right onto your cell phone. So make believe the drone is a little bit right to the right side of Ois Yud Gimel, and you're looking down, okay, live view, and you see there the roof of the Lishkas HaMadichin looking out towards Ois Yud Beis and Yudalud called the Shar Tzifoni. And you can actually see there, if you look carefully, you see there are 8 steps going up from outside that area coming into the Azara. And you can see on the side it says Ulami HaChatzer, and you can see there's a door going into that chamber that's right along the inside with the windows. It shows you 3 windows right before you come to the entrance. So this is the Lishkas HaMadichin. It's a room, and in that room is where they would clean the animals that were slaughtered before they were put on the Mizbeach. So the Pasuk says, Pasuk Lamed Ches, the Lishka, there was a chamber, Ufischa, and it had an opening, Be'elim Hash'arim. Now this means its opening corresponded to the posts of the gates. Now which gates are we referring to? We're referring to 2 gates. We're referring to the gate Yud Dalid and gate Vav, all the way on the top. The gate of the Chotzer HaChitzoyna and the gate of the Chotzer HaPnimis. The entranceway to this Lishka, where you would clean the animal, opened up directly parallel to these other 2 gates, Yud Beis and Ois Vav. That's what the Pasuk here means. One more time, the Lishka, the Chemu, Pischan, its opening. And its opening was Be'elim Hash'arim. Okay, this.
Did they allow cell phones in the Beis HaMikdash?
Okay, the Lishka.
They have Wi-Fi.
The Lishka. The chamber. In the chamber, Pischa Be'elim Hash'arim, it opened up corresponding to the posts of the Sh'arim. Shom there in this chamber, Yodichu Es Hoyla. They did the Tahara. They did the Tahara on the animal before they went, they cleansed it before they put it on the Mizbech. Let's see, Pasuk Lamed Ches.
The guts and everything go on the Mizbech?
What?
The guts?
No, the gut. Yeah. And the whole animal, the carbon oil, everything went on the Mizbech except for the skin.
They don't cut that out?
No, they just clean it. They don't cut it out. Everything goes on. The carbon oil, everything goes on the Mizbech. The only
so
thing
they
that's.
They clean it internally. They give the dead animal a minute?
Yeah. No, the Mitzvah, the mother. I've been told that when an animal dies, or a person dies, the muscles are released,
yes.
So it's very easy. They use their hands, I guess, and they put their hands inside, and they clean it out. They wash it out, and there's no.
20 feet of intestine.
I guess there's a limit to what they can do, but whatever they can do, they do. Whatever they can't do, they can't do. I don't know the exact technique. Obviously, there are things even by a human being. There's a tahara. There's a degree. Obviously, they're not going to go into the kishkas. Obviously, what? I don't know how it works. I really don't know. Okay, whatever it's done, there is a method. There is something which can be done, and whatever can be done is done, and whatever can't be done, it's not done. That's called natural. That's a cold and closed. If you can't get to it, so therefore that's not an issue. But this had to be done, and it was done in this chamber. Let's see the Mitzudos of Pasuk Lamed Ches. Lamed Ches says the Lishka Ritzon Eloymar v'Chalal Ezra Sanoshim Mul Shar Hatzifoni, opposite the northern gate, Onda Lishka Achas. There was a chamber Upischa. The opening of this Lishka Hoyo Mul was opposite Mizuzos Hashorim, the 2 gates, the Shar HaPinimi and the Shar HaChitzoni. One was the inner, one was the outer. Uchmo Shaoma Shinemar Lamala Be'ezras Noshim Luchain. Therefore, Omar Hashorim, that's why it says it Beloshon Rabim, the gates. Shom there behalishka hahi hoyu madichim kirve ha'oila hanishchatois batzafain. That's where they would clean, they would rinse the inside of the oila that was slaughtered batzafain v'yichaisa beis hamit b'chayim. This is what's called the beis hamit b'chayim in the bayis sheni. Okay, I really should go make a photocopy of the bayis sheni. We can refer to it every so often. Again, that was just basically an area where they would do exactly this, but it was not enclosed. It was open in the Azara. It was right next to the place where they did Shechita in the Azara. It was just an open area where there were hooks to hang up the animal, to flay it, and they would clean it there. There were tables, which they cleaned. That was it. Here it's done in private. No, only the Kohanim. What? Ois Hay was the Ezra's Noshim. It's one of three, the Hamoina, yeah, anyone can go there. No, they're cleaning in Ois Yud Gimel. They clean the animal in Yud Gimel.
It looks like a little U.
In Yud Gimel is the room.
And on this other, on page 4.
On page 4, yeah.
It's a phony,
yeah.
That's
inside.
Oh,
that's inside, right. I told you, make believe you're in a drone, Amazon $30 drone with a video camera, and you are, and look at this page, and you are to the right, the lower right of Yud Gimel. You're right at the corner of the Mizbeach. Make believe you don't see the Mizbeach underneath you, but underneath you, probably on the right by the Mizbeach, and you're looking down, you're looking to your left. What do you see when you look to your left? You see the roof of Yud Gimel. Okay? You see the roof of Yud Gimel, and you also see Yud Beis and Yud Aleph. You could also see the entranceway. The entranceway was the Shar Tzifoni. You actually see there, and you see the steps. So that this is a three-dimensional image showing you where to look. It's not telling us where the animals are coming in from. That's not relevant over here. What? We're going to learn in a few moments that the place where they slaughtered the animals was on the staircase. It's very bizarre. You see the staircase, the Mokem HaShechita, you see on picture 4, page 4, picture number 4. We didn't get to this yet. But you see over here along the entranceway, there is an area that you can see in Hebrew. It says on the floor, Mikoim HaShechita. And right after Mikoim HaShechita, you see there are 8 steps. And then again, you can't see, but it says again, Mikoim HaShechita.
Hay filled with animals?
No! Hay is an open area. Animals, what? You asking what purpose? To congregate there. I don't know. To daven, what?
The animals had to be brought in.
Yes, so the animals were not, they're not stored on the Har, in the Beis HaMikdash. They were stored in the Harabayis. They were stored in Yerushalayim.
The animals, everyone's congregated around, and then the animals were coming in. You had to make way for the animals.
How many animals are you bringing at a time? Everyone who came, okay, they came with an animal, fine, whatever it is.
Show us for gold, you had 1,000.
Okay, fine, but...
I don't know, I heard somewhere that when you had, let's say, Oshem Chatos,
yeah,
Ilam had to walk the animal across the Chatos.
To walk it across the Smicha.
Yeah, but before that, he actually went to the... He picked up the animal, let's say, right out the Chatos.
All right, fine, I never heard this before. You'd be embarrassed.
You'd be embarrassed.
I did an Avera. When you look at the animals, so you know what kind of Avera. By looking at the animal, you right away know what kind of Avera you did. Nichshol and Giliarayas. So therefore, everyone's looking at you, you are Varyan. So that's part of the kapara, to be ashamed. When you have to bring an animal, it's not a simple thing. If you're bringing an animal as a carbon, it means you did an Avera. It's an embarrassment. Okay, so...
You're not supposed to embarrass.
No, you're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing. There's a very big difference between someone embarrassing you and embarrassing yourself. We all know that if a person can make a self-deprecating joke, okay, so you can say about yourself the worst things and everyone laughs. If someone would say about you, you find out that someone said about you to his friend, even a teeny fraction of that, what you say about yourself, I do all the big three, and you go into very great detail. Okay, you did it, so it's a big deal. But if you heard someone said about you that this person, a teeny, teeny little insult, it's World War III. That's it. You go to war. Why? I could say whatever I want to say about myself. Someone says that about me, that's a whole different story. Okay, so when you bring a carbon, you're doing it to yourself.
It's a facetious story.
Yeah.
Because it's something like 150 years ago, Tamid Bashem, a guy came to visit the young guy, and every time he passed the Rebbe laughed at him.
Yeah.
And he was very hurt. He went over, he says, you remind me, you're a Gilgal of a Kayan. You were a young Kayan, and one of the big Kayanim did how to bring a carbon marshal. And so he was embarrassed to bring it across the whole Lazara with a carbon. So he told the young guy, walk with me with the goat. So the young guy knew what was going on. Every once in a while, he would leave go of the goat, and he would say, "Grab the goat that the big kayan did has to be an usher."
The child is levazim b'rabim.
He was levazim
b'rabim. So now you have to be embarrassed. All right, Gilgulim stories don't sit well with me, but all right, if it's okay, so this is the chamber window. Let's go over here. Rashi pasuk lamed ches says v'lishka chaisa etzel shar hatzifoni. There was a chamber that was near the northern entrance. Be'ezras Yisrael u'pitzcha shel lishka. The entrance way into this lishka. That's why you see that it's open on the top side. Look at Yud Gimel. Lois Yud Gimel. This chamber, it's open on the right on the top side because that's indicating that the entrance way, the door to come into this lishka. It was facing the posts, letzad hashar, towards the north. Okay, the be'elim hasharim yesh b'parasha pesukim koren lekisvois hashar elim. In this parasha, throughout the entire section, we call the post. The post is always called with the term a limb. Okay, so this is Rabbi Michal, you know what that word over here means?
Which word?
Lamed Ches. Pasik Lamed Ches. Pasik Lamed Ches. The Dibur Hamaskel is Be'elim Hasharim.
The sides of the gate, Mezelim, posts.
Post, okay. Sham yodichu es oila hanish nechet es batzafon yodichu es oila yirchatsu es hakirovayim. They would wash the inside of the animal to clean out all the garbage before they put on the mizbeach. Okay, so it's very straightforward. No complications. Now we're going to the place of shechita. Now this is stuff that is very, very bizarre. Okay, this is a very, very bizarre thing. In fact, I have for you another handout, so let me give it to you. I forgot to do this last night, so I did it this morning in Shul. What? No. It's indestructible, right? Until it breaks. Still works, right? Still working. Okay. Only people were so indestructible. Okay, let me give you this handout. So now we're coming to something that's very bizarre. If someone can understands this, get extra credit. Why this is so? Why is this so? In the bias, Rishon Bayis Sheni, we're all very well aware that we say in davening every single day that Kodshei Kodashim Shechitasan Bat Safoin. The Shechita of Kodshei Kodashim must be done on the north side of the Azara. So you take the Azara, you make a line down the center from east to west. Anything on top of that line is north. Anything below that line is south. right? You go from America to New York to Los Angeles. You make a straight line, and right, and anything above top of New York is Tzafon. Anything below New York is Daraim. So think of it like that. So now, so where do you do the shechita? You do the shechita in a bakovedik place. And in fact, we learned that there were 24 hooks. There were 24 mishmaros, each one in the azara, on the floor of the azara, right in the middle, right in the middle, smack in the middle of the azara. There was a hook on the ground, 24 of them, and each mishmar would bring the carbon tumid every morning to their hook when they were on duty. They would force the animal to get down on its knees, and they would lock the head. They would harness the head in the hook. And the Kohen would then do the Shechita for the Karban Tumid, and for that matter, all the Karbanos. It was done in the Azorah itself. Then they would take the animal, just move over a few Amos. They would hang it up on a hook. There were also 24 hooks. Each Mishmar had its own hook. They would flay it. They would then they would clean it, and they would cut it up into different pieces, and they would bring it and burn it on top of the Mizbeach. In the Bayis Shlishi, the Mekoyim HaShechita was done in the staircase. Can you imagine that? Like make believe this was the Beis HaMikdash, this shul over here. So in the Bayis Sheni, Bayis Rishon, there was a special Mokan. Okay, so that's Mizrach, and this is Ma'ariv. So that means over here, on this side of the shul, on this side, right next to the Bima, is where the Shechita was done. In the Bayis Shlishi, you don't bring the animal inside the Beis HaMikdash, in the Chatzar HaPnimis, to the Shechita. You do the Shechita on the staircase outside. You know when you come into the shul over here, there's a staircase, there are 3-4 steps coming into those two doors? That's where you did the Shechita, not inside. You did the Shechita literally on the steps.
Well, the benches are...
No, those are not benches, those are tables. Those are tables. Yeah, those are not benches.
Okay, tables. Those tables are not actually on the steps.
Okay, they're not actually on the steps, but basically it's in the area. Now, there are basically two areas. There are 8 tables. The pastor is going to teach us now there are 8 tables. Why there are tables? The tables there to put things down, to put down the knife, to put down the mizrokos, the utensils which are used for Kabbalah Saddam. When you slaughter an animal, there's a lot of blood. If you want to do that, you have to put the utensils, the mizrokos, the basins, underneath the neck of the animal to be makabel the dam. And I guess sometimes they would take the animal, they would put the animal on the table also. I don't know. I don't know the details of how exactly they did it, but obviously they needed eight tables. Now you can do the shechita in the front or you can do it in the back. Now this is a blow up. What you see over here in this illustration is a blow up of, go back to the bay, this is the main, the bird's eye view of the entire bay, Samigdash. Look at Yud Beis and Yud Dalet. We're now illustrating in 3 dimensions this teeny little area on this big picture, Yud Beis and Yud Dalet, and make believe you're standing in location Hey. Make believe you are standing where the letter Hey is. That's where you are standing. You are facing. Okay, you are facing. Now I know on the other hand that the Hey is not so clear. Okay, but you can still see it's towards the top. Okay, letter Hey, it's on the top. No, is it Ches? I can't even see. Is it Ches or Hey?
It's Hey.
It's Hey. Such good eyes. Okay, let's say it's assume it's a Hey. Maybe it's a Ches, whatever it is. But basically,
so you're facing the Shechita taking place.
You're doing the Shechita. You do. Let's just see where you're located. You're located. Let's say. Let you see the Vav. There's Vav, Hey, Yudalit. Okay, let's just follow that pattern. It's Vav, Hey, Yudalit. Well, no, it was traditionally done by Kohanim, but Bidiyavet Shechita is Keshera Bizar. Me'ikar Hadin in Yisrael is allowed to do the Shechita. The Kabbalah must be done by a Kohen. The Kohen must be the one who holds in his hand the utensil to be Makabal to accept the blood. But the Shechita can be done even by a Yisrael. So you're coming into the Chatzrach Yitzanel Oizvav, you go into Chatzrach Apni, you're now in the Ezras Nashim Hey, make believe you're standing right there and you're looking forward. What do you see in front of you? You see in front of you your Dalit and your Beis. You see the entranceway. On the end of your Dalit, you see those two little things sticking out? Those two little dots sticking out on your Dalit? Those are the columns. Those are the massive columns. Then you see there are four little dots inside on your dalet. Those are the four tables. Then you see that gray area. Those are the eight steps. Then you go a little bit forward. That area that's another area opposite the toim and opposite the wall. You see another four dots. Those are another four tables. And then you see the thickness of the wall. And then when you look inside, you can see the entranceway into the Lishkas Hamadichin. So you look at this picture, it's a great picture. This guy's genius. Okay, this is before they have all of those high tech. He made this picture before. Today you want to go design you have all these tools online where you can go and you can see what something looks like before you, in architecture, before you do something. Here you're standing, you're looking in the entranceway. Right in front of you, you see these two rounded columns, and you see this area called the Ul, that's the Ulam HaShaar. And in the Ulam HaShaar, there are four tables. And then you see, you go a little bit further, you see those entranceways on the left and the right, those entranceways into the Ta'im. You see a window, the windows are the windows in the Ulam HaShaar. Then you see that area which goes into the Ta'im and into those other chambers. You see the staircase. You see the staircase, the eight steps, and then you have a small area after the staircase before you actually enter into the Zorah Pnimis, and that's also a place where you can do Shrita, and there are another four tables.
Not on the steps itself, it's on the landing.
Right, on the landing, not mamish on the steps. Maybe you could do it on the steps also. It seems like this is the starting area, and that's the end area. I don't know. We don't know how it was done. Isn't it very strange? You didn't do. I mean.
But they also had to have some kind of hook to move the animals once they were stood.
Right. Where are the hooks? How they do shrita in the body is shani. There were hooks on the ground.
Yeah, but it's not like a limb. You can have a steer. You know, like it weighs 1,000 pounds.
Exactly. That's why in the body solution there was a special harness. It was a special contraption where they would put the animal on the ground and they would.
Could have been a pulley.
Whatever it was, I don't know. It's not showing you how they, all the details, but
it's no furniture. This picture's over.
But this is the Baya Shlishi, and it's just very, isn't it very strange? Like, you know, you would think.
There's
a
Shita of Yaakov, that Baya Shlishi and the Karbanos will be vegetables.
Baya Shlishi? Baya
Shlishi.
Vegetables?
Yeah, because the dam and that's why people are vegetarian.
Vegetarian? Never heard this before. That the korbanos, the bayis shlishi, are going to be vegetables?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is.
Could be fruits and vegetables, like it. You know.
There's more. There has to be more to it. All right, whatever it is. This is the place of shchita. Isn't that strange? It's like, you know, you build a building, you spend $50 million, they make believe lahavil elif alfi avdalis. You build the Freedom Tower, and what is it called? Oh, you know, we forgot to have elevators. We forgot. We had the staircase, but we just forgot to put in a shaft to the elevator. Oh, it was just a mistake. Okay, the architect just made it. Or, oh, you know, we forgot to put in bathrooms. sorry about that. Oh, we forgot the air conditioning system. Oh, it was just oversight. We'll manage. We'll put in some portable. We'll find a solution. Some solution. What? How could you forget something so basic? What is the Beis Hamikdash for? The Beis Hamikdash is to bring korbanos. Ki beisi beis tefil l'chol ha'am. What do you do? There's a big, massive mizbeach. There should be a nice big area to do shchita. Don't you think? Isn't that the first thing you have to do? You have to do shchita. Well, they have. The Lishkas Hamadichin is an upgrade. The Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, it was done out in the open. So here we have an upgrade. We have a chamber. We have a whole room. There's got to be there, you know, plumbing. There's got to be there modern plumbing to clean water. Everything is unbelievable, an upgrade. And we'll see more. In that Lishkas Hamadichin, there were four tables. We described what it looked like. It was beautiful in the Lishkas Hamadichin. It was an upgrade. And everything else, we're going to have over here dining rooms. You know, every single thing in the Bayis Shlishi relative to the Bayis Sheni were major, major upgrades from the Bayis Sheni to the Bayis Shlishi. But one thing that is so bizarre is when it came to the Shechita, which is the most fundamental thing, it's almost like, oh, we forgot about that. So you know what? Do it on the staircase.
Maybe it's not the steps, maybe it's the conveyor
belt. No, these are steps. This is it. This is the way it is in this picture. It's not a conveyor belt. Zehu, what you see is what you get. This is what it says here. This is the entranceway. Obviously there is. Obviously there is. The whole area that should be for Shechita is totally forgotten about. And it's just Derech Agav. We're gonna if the fire department would come, they would say, what are you putting tables in the staircase? What are you putting tables over here? It's a fire hazard to have tables in the staircase. It's getting in the way. And people are shachting on the staircase. They might fall down and hurt themselves. And what's going on over here? And the animals, they walk up the steps? How does this work exactly? And you do the shechit in this location? It's very, very, it's very strange. Obviously, there's something very mystical going on over here. Why the shechita in the Baye Shlishi, it's gemamish, like an afterthought. We don't have a place to do it. We're not going to do it in the outside. We're not going to do it inside. We're going to do it in the staircase. And by the way, it has to be in the Tzafon. So this is called Tzafon. This is the northern side of the Azara. I mean, obviously, this is the north. That's why we're focusing here on the northern entranceway. But this is what the Pasuk here says. Let's read the Pasuk inside. Pasuk Lamites. Uvu Ulam Hashar. Inside Ulam Hashar, we have Shnayim Shulchanos. Two tables, Mipo on one side. Ushnayim Shulchanos Mipo. Lishchait Aleihem. To slaughter upon them. So it seems the slaughter was on the table. Okay, in the bayis, Shani, it was on the ground. On the ground, connected to some type of hook on the ground. Here it says, upon the table, Ho'oila, V'hachatos, V'ha'asham. Why these three korbanos? Because these are Kodshei Kodashim, and Kodshei Kodashim Shchitasan Batsafon. This is the northern side of the Azara. Because Kodshei Kalim can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. You can shecht it on the southern entranceway. On the eastern end entranceway, but this is Safan. Let's see the Metzulas Pasuk Lamites. Of Ulam Ashar, Bachalal Ulam Hanimshach Me'ashar Hu Amdu Shnayim Shulchanos Be'Ever Mizeh Shnayim Be'Ever Mizeh. Ritzon Loimar Shnayim B'Mizrocha Yishnayim B'Marava. There's two on the east, two on the west. Since this is the north, so therefore the part one side is the east, one is the west. Lishchait Aleihem Etzlam near them B'Samach Lachem Ha'Ela Shem Kodesh Kedoshim Hamatuunim Shchita. Even though this area is extended towards the Ezras Nashim, the Kedusha of the entranceway has the status of being inside the Azara. It still has the status of the Azara, because you know you can't shech the carbon outside of the Azara. The carbon has to be slaughtered within the Azara. If you shech the carbon in the Ezras Nashim, it's possible. That's called shechitas chutz. The half the zvachim is about shechitas chutz. If you slaughter an animal, a carbon outside of the Beis Hamikdash, the Azara, the carbon is not kosher. So it must be slaughtered inside the Azara. So the Mitzvah is saying it's not in the Azara. It's in the staircase. It's in the entranceway, the Ulam Hashar. So the Mitzvah says the status of the Ulam Hashar has the same Kedusha of the Azara. It's an extension of the Azara, and that's why it's valid to do the Shechita in that location. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Lamites says, the Ulam Hashar Hatzifani, on the northern side, we have Shnayim Shulchanos. We have two tables, Bimizrocha Ushtaim Bimarava, the Afal Pisha Hoya Moshuk El Toyche Chatzer Hachitzaina. He's coming to elaborate the same idea that we just mentioned from the Mitzvah started. Kedusha Soikil Lefnim, it has the status of being inside, therefore it's not called Shchutei Chutz. Okay, next Pasik, the El HaKosef. Now, let's go further. The El HaKosef, Michutsa Lo'oila, Lepesach Hashar Hatzifaina. Another Shnayim Shulchanos, the El HaKosef Ho'acheres, and to the other side, Asher L'Ulam Hashar, Shnayim Shulchanos. So we're just moving further in. Go up the steps, and now when you come to the side, that's Chutza, which means, let's clarify, in the Mitzudo Stavid, the Elakosebo Ever Ha'achas Me'ulam Machutzolo Kishoilin Bemalais. When you go up the steps, Lepesach Shar Hatzfoini, Ritzon Olamash Shar Hapanimi, Yishayurecha Esra Amos, והמעלות שלכם היו בין התחום ושם עמדו שניים שולחנות ואלה כעשה וכן בעבר החרץ אולם השאר עמדו שניים שולחנות. So he's learning very clearly that when you go up the steps, why is it called Michutza? Why here does he call this over here Chutza Loi? It means you keep on going forward. Even though you really see the word Chutza is very it doesn't really fit in well. Because chutz in these psukim normally mean towards the ezras noshin, and pnim is the chotzer hapanimi. Yet, in the context of this pasuk, the word chutza is closer to the inside. Because since we're describing the person going forward, you're standing in the ezras noshin, you come to the first area, the ulam hashar. Now, chutza means keep on going forward. Keep on moving forward. When you're moving chutza, you're coming to the inside. But that's how he learns, that's how the Mitzvah learns Shah in the Pasuk. When you go chutza, lo oilet, to go up the steps. After you go up the steps, lepesach hashar hatzefayna, and you come to the opening into the Azar on the northern side, again you'll discover another four tables. Shnayim shulchanos, the two tables, that's on one side. The alakos sefer on the other side, huacheres is asher lulam hashar, which we're calling there as well. We're calling it also lulam hashar. Shnayim shulchanos. Now let's see what it is over here in the Rashi. Rashi pasuk mem says, the alakos sefer michutza, the aver pesach ulam michutza lachalal ulam. That's on the outside of the open way to the ulam. Lesoch chalalo, which is closer to the inside of Shel Pesach Shel Tzad Ezras Yisrael. Exactly what the Mitzudos David said. The word chutza here just means keep on moving. Keep on moving, go up the steps, and you're going to come into the area that opens up directly into the Ezras Yisrael. It could not be more explicit when he says over here the words Ezras Yisrael.
He translated it as to the outer side.
So that's the difficulty. The difficulty over here is the word chutzah normally means towards the Ezras Noshim, but not in this context. In this context, since we're starting out on the outside and we're coming to the inside, so therefore we're calling chutzah as we move forward inward. After you ascend the steps, when you walk up the steps, now you're what this particular pasuk calls the chutzah, relative to where you were before. Before I was further back. Now when I go up the steps, I'm chutz, I'm away from where I was before. So in this limited focus, that's where the word chutzah. And Rashi is explicit, because Rashi says that this area chutzah is right adjacent to the Ezras Yisrael, not the Ezras Noshim. So you're going inward. La'oila means go up the steps. L'pesach, you're now coming into the opening. Rashi, I'm reading Rashi, Ashar Hatzafayna, Kishenichnos. When you enter in L'soich Ashar, the oile b'malois, and you go up the steps, Pesach Hazara, you're going to discover in that area another four tables. Shnayim Shulchonos, L'kesef, HaPesach, L'mizrach, oile ma'arif. V'el HaKosef, HaCheres, and then on the other side, Asher L'pesach Ulam, Shnayim Shulchonos, another two tables. So let's see Pasuk Mem, I'll finish up very quickly. Arba'ah Shulchonos Mipo, V'arba'ah Shulchonos Mipo. So what is the summary? After we've described this entire entranceway, how many tables are there in total? Eight. There are four on the outside and before the staircase, and there are four after you ascend the eight steps. So arba shulchanos mipo, the arba shulchanos mipo, like lekesef hashar. So on the left side you're going to have a total of four tables, and on the right side you're going to have a total of four tables for a grand total of shmoina shulchanos. A grand hall of eight tables, Aleihem Yishchatu, this is where you're going to do the Maisa Shchita. Let's just do this pasuk and finish up. This is the end of the section. The next pasuk is in the four different tables, which will come back, that will be tomorrow, but let's see Mem Alf and the Mitzvot Stavid. Mitzvot Mem Alf, it says, Mipo Me'ever HaZeh Shnayim B'Chalal Ulam HaShnayim B'Chalal B'Chalal Shemin HaTanatoyim. You're going to have a total of four tables, two where the tohim are, and two, when you go up the steps, la kesef ashar lechol kesef mikisvei ashar shmoyne v'tan olam abin kulam yitshmoyne v'etzem besamach lochem yitshchatu akomunas. Now over here, the Mitsudo says you do not slaughter the animal on top of the table. It says besamach. He learns it means near the table. Yishchatu HaKabonis Shashchidas Matzafayin. Rashi, Pasik Mem, Aleph is there. There is no Rashi on Pasik Mem Aleph. So we're finished. So that ends this section. So what we learned over here today is, we've learned about the Lishkas HaMadichin, that chamber, and we've learned about the location where you do the Ma'aseh Shechita in the staircase.